No one seems to be asking questions, so I don't know. I will keep asking questions to myself.
I have a question.
Ah, good. Thank you.
This is about surrender, which I said.
Yeah.
So when the children in the playground asked mother, when they said, oh, we want to surrender to the divine, and she says, what do you want to surrender? You are like a marketplace right now.
Yes, yes.
Right? So she said, then I become a true individual.
Correct.
Then you will know what surrender is. Yes. Till that time it's like tottering in the dark, right? We don't
Beautiful
know.
Beautiful question. Yes.
So would you like to speak a little bit?
Yes, yes. If I pick up this and say, I am giving it to you, what will he say? That's not yours. He may not say anything for this. But if I say, I am selling, you know, there are people who sell Taj Mahal. Do you know this story? There are people who have actually sold Taj Mahal to someone. You have heard about it, no? Our property. Le lo. And there are fools who buy it. So, what am I surrendering? You see, Swami Vivekananda did it in a very interesting way. When a youngster went and said, I want to renounce and take sannyas. He said, what do you want to renounce? He said, I want to renounce life. He said, what do you have with you that you can renounce? He says, first go and earn 1 lakh rupees, then come and talk about renunciation. So, basically surrender implies that when something I have reclaimed as my own, egoistically, of course, individuality is about that, then I can give it. It's like the ego individuality which forms is something like making nice ice cream with its own unique flavor inside the, what is it called? Not the cone. Cone you can eat, but in mold. You have different molds, no, in which you put same base, but to that base you add flavor. After the ice cream is formed, now that's individuality. Then you say, Lord, please have this ice cream. That's surrender. If everything is all mixed together and say, Lord, have it from my side, he'll say, wait, that I am anyways having without your giving me or without your offering. That's what is the vision on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. He says, anyways, everything is entering into me and coming out of me. I am the original womb of creation and the place where everything goes back. So there are 4 stages of human development, which Aurobindo speaks of. The first is when we are just like an animal. Animal, not even, see, animal begins to form a group, but animal, it doesn't need to, you know, it can move around. Like when people say nowadays, going back to nature, so they say you don't have to wear clothes, you know, whatever. So basically what it means that I'll be like an animal. Kangaroos are just, you know, moving around, jumping around, whatever. It's the law of being. So that's the stage when we are completely governed by instinct whatever the desire of the moment comes. It's not called desire, but it's instinct for food, for child or whatever that is moved by nature. And one is. Then comes the mass consciousness, which is where the social things come. Because otherwise it's an unregulated life. So man in his first stages of evolution from the animal man to a proper man has to first go through this. The society will exercise certain controls, checks, balances, values. If you go out of that, you become an outcast. That's what we see in the story of Ramayana. That you can't, because that's a stage when from the animal, humans are evolving. So you have to follow very strictly. You can't start. So that is one stage of evolution where we act according to the social standards. But both social standard is something outside. It's not something intrinsically your own. Then comes the individualistic stage where you rebel because there is something amiss in the social standards. I take this example. For example, one is supposed to, listen to parents. Was supposed to, now I will say, far back time. But if the parents tell you to do something which is outright wrong. Okay, I don't know what example to take. But if they tell you to do something which is outright incorrect, should you do it or you shouldn't do it?
Shouldn't do it.
Yeah, that's right. You shouldn't do it. As simple as that. So what happens when you make such choices which you believe inwardly from your inner yardstick that they are the right choices, where you are even defying the society. So individuality begins to form. This is the stage through which now humanity is passing. Everywhere, if you see 100 years back, 150 years back, this was the standard. Standard was set by the group life and individuals had to follow it. But now that thing is changing. So this is the stage of individuality. In individuality, you make choices. When you make choices, you make mistakes. Doesn't matter. Through all this, slowly an individuality is shaped. Obviously, when individuality is formed, it's not like it's about you are making the right choices and the right... It doesn't matter. But this is how you are. A creature of good and bad tendencies. That's how the mother puts it when you come to surrender. Then when you have done and formed an individuality, then you realize it is so incomplete. Something is missing. And as individuality develops, you start feeling more and more stifled inside. That's the sign now individuality is ready to be surrendered. Sri Ramakrishna would use the word kacham pakam. But also he would say kacha ami, paka ami. So what is the sign that ego has become ripe and ready to surrender? Because you begin to feel stifled. Otherwise we are very happy and satisfied. I am what I am. So if you are happy and satisfied, the process is not started. Don't push such people. Because they will lose the balance. They are yet going through. They have to learn. But there comes a time where with all your good and bad and whatever you may describe your individuality, you feel something is missing. It's incomplete. And in various ways that time, something of the divine touch or a divine opening comes. Then you come to the divine and say, here I am, a creature of good and bad habits and tendencies. And I lay myself at your feet. Now here what comes in the way of surrender is the same ego. How? I am a very good person, self-righteous. Very difficult for a self-righteous person to surrender. I am a good guy. What is there for me to learn? See, mother is so fortunate to have a very lucky to have a right kind of instrument who is always Mr. Right. Mother will say, I am trying to put some sense into your stupid head that there is only one right and it is the divine will. That's right with a capital R. All else is a play of dualities, a relative right and a relative wrong. That's why we use the word in Indian thought, right is rit, rit chit, satyam vrahatam ritam. So right is, the original right is, the right place, right time, right season for things. And that is determined by something much greater, transpersonal, beyond ourselves. And to discover it, you have to engage in yajna. So that's how the whole thing starts. That there comes a time when we discover the limitations of all our ideas, notions, opinions, viewpoint, right and the wrong and everything. And that's why it's so difficult to let go of this right. That's what the gospel, the Bhagavad shows when Gopi Sri Krishna says, no, no, no. If you want the clothes, I have robbed them. Lying here, come out. No, we feel very ashamed. What is the shame about? No, no, no. You'll see us in our nakedness, just as we are. Oh, you want to remain a very sadhu bachcha? So, Sri Aurobindo speaks of it as that when God plucked my robe of sin, I let it go. But when He plucked at my robe of virtue, I held it. I don't want to. This is me. This is what defines me. I am Mr. Right. I don't do this ever. Which includes, I don't relinquish my passport, sorry. There are several ways. This right is, you know, that's my pehchan. My pehchan is Divine Mother. What does Mother say? I am beyond all, no nation, no civilization can... So one has to enter into that vastness. A time comes when all other individualities and their identification has to be surrendered at her feet. When you surrender at her feet, then she will make you her instrument and do with you That's the difference between an ordinary monkey and Hanuman. When you surrender that you are the Madari, Sabahi Nachavat Ram Gosain, then he begins to start moving us. And it's very difficult for a self-righteous person to surrender, because then he feels that I am losing something most precious. Yes? But one has to go through that. So a person cannot skip this stage where you are developing conscious choices, even righteousness, sattvic ego, all this has a place in the development. But then surrender implies even this sattvic ego. That is the difference between Arjun and Yudhishthir. Yudhishthir is a very Mr. Right. So he is not the adhikari of the Gita. He is a good guy. Bhishma is also Mr. Right. Vachan baddhu. That's why yesterday I was saying a pledge and promise, as if earlier we have never broken any pledge or promise. So there again we see Bhishma, I have taken a pledge. If Sri Krishna told him the whole Gita, at the end he would have said, all that is fine, wonderful, what a discourse, jnana and everything. But you know what? I am still in that era when pran jaye par vachan na jaye. That's what happened with, that's the classic story of Karna. Sri Krishna tells Karna, look here, this is not dharma what you are doing, but I am bound by my pledge. Friendship is more sacred to me. See, all these are examples of righteousness. But what does Arjun say? In the beginning he says a little bit, after that, okay, Krishna, tell me, what do I do? He said, I'm telling you from the beginning, pick up the arrow, pick up the bow, shoot. Okay. Then he says, Nasto Moha, all my delusions are gone. And then he becomes the instrument of the divine, so much so that it's just unbelievable. So that's where the ego, Sri Ramakrishna would say, the self-righteousness, the sattvic ego is like the golden chains. You don't want to break them, though they are easiest to break. Because you value them so much. So there comes a time when one has to be stripped bare of all defenses. Remember those lines in Hour of God? That all that was like a defense against the eye of the master, these are also insincerities, becomes now a gap in thy armor and invites a blow. You have to surrender utterly. As you tell me, so I will be. As you want me to do, so I will do. And that's a big leap, very difficult. So that's what surrender is about. Individuality is important, because I just can't, pick up anybody's anything and say, I'm giving you to God. First, I must reclaim it. It's egoistic, but that's how you reclaim it. Then you give it. I can't steal a bank and then go and put it divine feet. He may accept it because he's beyond everything. That's a different story altogether. I can't just say, I got so much money for you. So that's how it is.
Alumda, once you, let's say you surrender, but then you have to keep doing your karma. There will be a lot of challenges that come in life. So how do you make those decisions? Because we don't have Sri Krishna to tell us right from wrong, or do this or do that. So how do we get those guidance?
Absolutely. Very beautiful question. So, first of all, surrender does not mean no karma. That part is very clear in the Gita itself. He says there is nothing like no karma. Even not doing karma is a choice you have made. Okay. It's a consequence. Not doing karma is as much a choice as doing karma. So the question comes, how to decide? First of all, it's a presumption. Sri Krishna is very much with all of us. Poor fellow, huh? Don't send him. He is the only fellow who is all the time super active. But we don't listen to Krishna because we are busy with the noises of the world. We are busy with gossips. We are busy with all kinds of things happening around. Our mind is full of ideas, opinions, everything. So where is time to listen to the flute? So how does Krishna tell us, or Divine Mother tell us, whatever way you want to put it, what is to be done and what is not to be done? One thing we have understood that it is not about our right and wrong. If you are stuck with that, we will mistake the intention of the divine. So that means we have to be very quiet inside, freed of all preferences. If there is a preference that, Mother, I am seeking guidance from you, but you know what? be very quiet. Very quiet. Many of these preferences will come. And when we first voice, often is the voice of our preferences, imitating the voice of the divine. And one of the differences is that voice of preferences and desire is something which pushes us with, do it. When such an impulse is coming, wait. This is something which you can experience. I have seen it several times. Something you have read or heard, and the first impulse is, okay, I am going to write or say this. It's coming as such a power that it's almost like it's divine who is going to act. Stay quiet. Wait for a day. Delay it. So you see, it just settles, even vanishes. And then again try to tune. So 2-3 days you have to allow. Generally, of course, those who are tuned in, it will come. So it's very soft indication. It doesn't. Divine has this bit shy nature. He doesn't like to push. Do it. Thou shall do this. His method is more like gentlemanly. See if you can do this. Like Sri Aurobindo. Like Sri Krishna. See, I have told you what I had to tell you. Now you decide. It's a very gentlemanly method that the divine approaches. So it's very difficult. Therefore, what is the simpler way? Simpler way is, in your heart, make sure that your heart is clear of all malice and the desire self and all those hatred and anger which corrupt the original message. Make sure when you are going to act, it's not out of your selfish interest, but because you genuinely feel this will be good, good for everyone, according to limited understanding. It's understood. It may or may not be good, doesn't matter. But according to your limited understanding, that decision should not be based on selfish, egoistic motives. That should be very clear. And that based on what you think is the best, lok sangrahart, what will help everything to move a step forward, act, but offer it to the divine. So when you offer it, then his knowledge overrules our nescience. There's a whole passage in Savitri which describes it in his beautiful way. He who has made the world is ever its Lord. Our errors are his steps upon the way. Don't be afraid that, oh, what if I'm making mistake? Take it as an axiomatic truth that man in ignorance will make mistakes from the divine standpoint. That's not so. You know, sometimes in trying to be afraid of making mistakes, we don't act at all. So, our errors are his steps upon the way. He works through the hard vicissitudes of our lives. He works through the hard breath of battle and toil. His knowledge overrules our nescience. So that's why nishkam karma. If you have done as an offering, then if the result is contrary to what you apparently expected, then you should not flinch. Oh, but I thought I have got the correct indication. Yes, maybe it's the correct indication. The divine wants you to fail. So what? So you see, because he wants us to take us through a journey. It's a journey. His knowledge overrules our nescience. So what should be the approach? Whatever the appearance, we must bear. Whatever our strong ills and present fate, when nothing we can see but drift and bail, a mighty guidance leads us still through all. That's the faith that we must have. That whether I see Krishna or not, whether I know Krishna is with me or not, from the other side the story is different. Krishna can't say, I don't recognize you. He has no option. Because everything is he. All he loves, all he moves, all are his, all is he. He can't say that I don't know you, you didn't know me, I also don't know you. He's not like us humans, no. I don't know him. Deliberately turning the eyes away and, you know, and the person, okay, nice meeting you. All that he doesn't know, he has no choice. He walks with all on every path. All are his. Know that for sure. One thing I can say this with utmost conviction of truth. Each one of us may be mistaken about ourselves. Our own existence may be doubtful, and I can prove it logically, okay? But the divine is the one whom one cannot doubt. That is for sure. There is no other truth than the divine who is everywhere in everything. So with that faith you connect. I don't see you, it's okay. You are playing peekaboo, it's okay. I can't find you, but you are there. So with faith you have to connect to the divine presence in the heart. That I don't see you, I don't hear you, but I have faith that you are listening to me in the heart. And then, as I said, do it and offer it to him. And then nishkam karma. Don't worry about the result and all. That means still it's the ego. I have not offered. If I have offered, then it's his lookout. Then what happens? Then life begins to take an interesting turn. That's described in the next few lines. A date is fixed in the calendar of the unknown. An anniversary of our birth sublime. Our souls shall justify its checkered walk. All shall come near that now is not or far. These calm and distant mights shall act at last. And then he says the ultimate mantra. When do we meet God? Or to put it the other side, when the God decides to disclose himself to us. After we have served this great divided world, God's bliss and oneness are our inborn right. He is like a king. He doesn't just give away a wealth, just squanders it on, okay, you inherit it. You inherit it. But you have to grow through. A time comes when you are ready, and then he says, here is this kingdom. This is as much yours. So go with this faith that we may not see, we may not hear, but she is there. We may doubt our own existence. Oh, what is that song? Kal ho na ho. Main rahun ya na rahun. I may or may not be there, but the divine was, is and will be always there. And live life with this faith and everything will change marvelously. Do your best. Do it very well. Do it so that the work succeeds. But don't hanker after it. Don't be disappointed if it doesn't succeed. Look at Sri Krishna. He changes. He goes to Dwarka from Mathura. Apparently, Ranachod. Why did he do it? Just as in the closing, by the way. Why did Sri Krishna, people call him Ranachod, ran away from the battle? Why did he do it? Any wild guess?
I think to save his army, to save his
people. To save his people. He realized that this fellow is a joker. He keeps on attacking. And there was a way to kill Jarasandh, which he ultimately did. Got it done. His own strategy. But he didn't want. Nobody could have killed Krishna. But he deliberately, some retreats are useful for a greater leap towards the future. So it was not failure. It was a retreat. So in life sometimes there are strategic retreats which are important to gather strength, to gather wisdom and use that opportunity to leap towards the future. So don't fix the time. Don't fix. Fix only the goal, which ultimate goal is the divine and his manifestation. That's the only goal. But don't fix the time. It has to be within this time frame. Then you squeeze yourself, squeeze everything and put yourself in a very uncomfortable situation. For everything there has to be a time. Even if you have thrown the seeds, prepare the ground and thrown the seeds, you may never see the tree, but some people will see the tree. You may not eat the fruit, but somebody will eat the fruit. That's what collective yoga is about. Yeah?